25, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Wherefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that, after examination had, I might have somewhat to write, For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, in the first section, then, we have Festus coming to take Felix's place. And when he does, notice he is in Jerusalem. Paul is still in Caesarea. And so the Jews immediately address Festus when he comes to his seat of authority, and they would have him, they would have their accusations against the Apostle Paul and would have him put to death. So Paul has been incarcerated now, been kept under some kind of bonds for about 2 years at this point. Remember, we were talking about patience before. This is also a time of remembering the patience of the apostle here. The Lord had told him that he would go to Rome, and yet, even after these 2 years, he remains patient, waiting for that day. So do not waver then in your faith if things seem to be put out of sequence or out of order. The Lord is not only the God of the future, that is of your hopes, but he is the God of the present, that is what is going on right now, in the circumstance in which you find yourself in these days. God is still God. Secondly, we notice the providence of God in the behavior of Festus. And we recognize that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The Jews, still about their dishonest machinations, want Paul to be brought from Caesarea back to Jerusalem, that they might have a band of folks waiting for him in the way, that they might kill him outright on the way to Jerusalem. And so that's their plan. But Festus says, no, let's have him stay there and I'll travel down. And if any of you have an accusation, you can travel with me. Now we can see both Festus' strategy here and the hand of God in what's working. Festus' strategy is that if he's gone over the records, which we would assume that he had from the days of Felix, he's found that they have no sure accusation against him, against Paul. And so what he's doing is, he's saying, if there really is something to be done here, you will go the extra mile and you will come to Caesarea with me and you will make your accusation. If you have no zeal to travel with me to Caesarea, that speaks more to your charges than it does to anything else. But notice also that while Paul is patient waiting, that the Jews have also been patient. And so it is possible to not give up in an evil matter, having your heart disposed toward that evil. And so while Paul, we see, righteously is patient for 2 years, the Jews here are also patient in an unrighteous manner. They are vehement in it, such that even after 2 years, their zeal, their sinful zeal, still burns against the Apostle Paul. And they do get off of their hineys and go with, that's a technical term, and they do go with Felix down to Caesarea in order that they may accuse Paul there. And so, this is what happens then. So, they travel to Caesarea. Their plot is thwarted. Festus's strategy, because he didn't know about their plot, still, his strategy is such that his heart is in the hand of the Lord, and so Paul is preserved. Remember, the Lord's promise to him, and that is that he would preach at Rome. All right, so then they all arrive together in Caesarea, and first the Jews come, and they bring their accusations against Paul, and then Paul answers for himself, and once again, we find Paul's answer hasn't waved a bit. It's just a very reasonable, a very competent defense of one who is a lover of the truth. All right, so then notice that Festus is still wanting to do the Jews a pleasure. And we might think this as an act of kindness on his part. This is not a dishonest thing, and it's not particularly nefarious on his part. People that are treated kindly are generally easier to govern. Right? You remember what Rehoboam did in the days after the death of his father, and how he took counsel from the young men and the old men, And remember what he said. He said, okay, well, the old men said, if you will deal kindly with them, they'll serve you forever. And the young men said, you tell them that your little finger will be thicker than your father's loins. Which counsel should he have taken? The kinder counsel. And so it is not a bad thing here that Festus desires to show the Jews a kindness. And we know that the Lord is working behind all of these events. And so back to Jerusalem they go, and everyone this time travels together. I'm sorry, they don't go back to Jerusalem. Festus asks Paul if he's willing to go back to Jerusalem with him to be tried there. And Paul, understanding then that the church does not have the power of the sword, only the magistracy does, he says, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. If I have done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. I just want to make sure I'm put to death lawfully by the right people. Don't turn me over to the Jews. They don't have that kind of authority. Caesar does. I appeal to Caesar. And that's when Festus says, thou hast appealed to Caesar, unto Caesar thou shalt go. So he hasn't yet taken him out of prison. Then King Agrippa comes into town. And, of course, there's the formalities, all of the exchange. And Bernice, his wife, is there with him, which, by the way, was his half-sister and unlawfully married to him. So this tells us something about the Hasmonean kings of the first century. They were wicked men, not particularly godly men at all. They had fallen a long way from their Maccabean fathers, hadn't they? That's the point we want to make. And so in the second or the last half then of the chapter, we have this arrangement between Agrippa and Festus to hear Paul. Now, we won't hear that testimony until the next chapter. But it is indeed telling at the end of the chapter, and we'll wrap it up pretty quickly with this, that Festus says, King Agrippa, since you have more knowledge of these, more intimate knowledge than I do, I would really like to hear from you after having heard Paul, because if I send him on to Caesar, I just think it's untoward for me to send him if I don't have a charge to charge him with. I just send him uncharged and incarcerated. That seems to me to be untoward. And once again, we have this recognition of justice on the part of Festus that speaks of God's kindness to a people, that he would provide a just magistracy over them. He is going the extra mile, rather than simply what he could have done, which would have been in his authority to do, to trump up some charge and to send him on the way. Get this guy out of my sight. It's too much trouble. All these Jews, they're bothering me. He doesn't do that. Rather, he holds another inquiry, another interview with someone who might have a little bit more expertise in the Jews' religion, King Agrippa, than himself, and someone who ought to have a bit of credibility being a king. And so this seems to me to be a very just procedure here. This is the last appeal that Festus will have, and so from here on out, then Paul will be sent on. But we hear this most interesting interchange between Paul and Agrippa in chapter 26 next week. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.